Hello and welcome to Oxtalk for Tuesday, the 7th of July, 2026. My name is Andy, and I'll be putting together this, my first edition of Oxtalk as a technical officer, which has been compiled from news and articles across the week as appeared in the local papers. Oxtalk is available online via the Oxtalk website and through your Alexa device. More details on how to do this will be given following this week's news stories. Sunrise times this week range from 4:55 to 5:01 in the morning, with sunset from 9:23 to 9:19 p.m. A short announcement now with some information about the Home Library Service, followed by this week's news.
Kevin Solway, Oxfordshire County Council's Library Services Manager, has said the following information about the Home Library Service, which you may or may not already know about. After you have listened to this information, which David Field, an Oxtalk volunteer, is recording for Oxtalk listeners, you can either ring or email the Home Library Service yourself, or if you wish, you can ask a friend, family member or carer to contact Kevin on your behalf. I hope this is a service which you will find very useful. Please let me know if you do. This from Margaret, Chair of Oxtalk. Home Library Service. Would you like to borrow library books but are unable to visit the library for any reason? If you're finding it difficult to get to a library, the Home Library Service may be able to help. The Home Library Service is run by Oxfordshire County Council and serves 830 customers across the county. With the help of volunteers, it looks after and delivers books and audiovisual items to those who struggle to physically visit a library due to their personal circumstances. The service is completely free of charge to customers, many of whom are elderly or housebound, and it can be used on a short-term basis following illness or hospitalisation. Those with carer responsibilities are also welcome to apply. How it works. Contact us to discuss the kind of books, large print or regular print, DVDs, audiobooks on CD, music CD or DVDs that you like to read or enjoy. We can then arrange for a library volunteer to deliver these to you in your own home. Our volunteers are DBS checked, wear an identification badge and provide a helpful and friendly service. Whenever possible, we try and arrange for the same volunteer to visit you each time. Your library materials will be delivered and collected every 3 weeks. The Home Library Service is free of charge, and there is no charge for requests or late returns. We also have a few CD players that we can loan out, so customers can trial an audio to see if it works for them prior to purchasing a new machine. How to register. To register for this service or for further information, call your local library or telephone the Home Library Service on 01865 810259. That's 01865 810259. Or you can email them. The email address is Home Library Service, that's all one word, at oxfordshire.gov.uk.
For this edition, the news has been chosen and read by Christine Churchill and Ralph Weirs.
Customers of a beloved aquatic shop in East Oxford have expressed their shock and sadness as the business closes for good after 70 years trading in the city. The Goldfish Bowl in Magdalen Road, a much-loved family-run fish-keeping shop, announced it would shut down on July the 31st after decades in the community. Owned by Barry Alday, the award-winning specialist shop has been a central part of the East Oxford community, and the team described its time trading as a remarkable journey. The owner's retirement, the increase in running costs, and implementations of the current transport schemes by the council were cited as the challenges which led to the business's closure. Customers took to social media to share their memories of the shop and their shock and sadness that it would close. Commenter Matt Jeffries shared memories of his time working at the store and said, "The Goldfish Bowl played a huge part in my childhood and adulthood. I remember the first purchase, the relentless phone calls asking Barry for a job until he finally gave in. the endless cycle of hosing down the system filters, learning how to speed mop the shop floor, the late finishes unpacking thousands of fish, and so much more. I truly wish the past and present staff all the best for the future.
A fresh start is on the cards for a handful of Oxford residents. 29 homes for social rent have been completed in the first phase of a new development in Littlemoor. Keeper's Place is part of a larger scheme that will eventually deliver 90 affordable homes on the site of a former oil depot. A ribbon-cutting ceremony took place this week to mark the occasion. The site, now transformed from long derelict land into a sustainable neighbourhood, has been delivered by Ox Place, Oxford City Council's housing company, in partnership with Homes England and Cante Estates. Councillor Linda Smith, Oxford City Council's Cabinet Member for Housing and Communities, said, "Today marks an important milestone here in Littlemoor as we celebrate the completion of the first social rent homes at Keeper's Place, where we will soon be welcoming the first residents to this new community. Oxford urgently needs more genuinely affordable homes, and developments like this show how, with the help of our partners, we can transform brownfield land back into use to help meet that need. These new high-quality homes will give local people and families the opportunity to remain in the city they call home while benefiting from lower carbon, energy-efficient living. The development will include a mix of one- and two-bedroom flats, two-bedroom houses, and larger family homes with three, four, or five bedrooms. Plans include 47 homes for social rent and 43 for shared ownership. Social rent is typically about 40% of equivalent private rents. Designed to high environmental standards, the homes are fully electric and include air source heat pumps. Built using a fabric-first approach to reduce energy use, every property is expected to achieve an EPC rating of B or higher. The scheme is achieving more than a 65% reduction in carbon emissions compared with the 2022 building regulations. Councillor Smith said, "Through Ox Place, we are building hundreds of affordable homes across Oxford. Keeper's Place is one of our largest developments and will ultimately provide 90 affordable homes, making a significant contribution to tackling Oxford's housing crisis. The site features communal green spaces, improvements for biodiversity, enhanced pedestrian routes, and facilities that support sustainable travel, such as electric vehicle charging." Councillor Nigel Chapman, Cabinet Member for Citizen Focused Services and Council Company, said, "Ox Place is proud to be unveiling the first homes at this critical development in Littlemoor, where we have worked with Cante Estates to deliver a truly special new community. This partnership has created a range of low-carbon, high-quality homes that demonstrate what's possible when we build with people and the planet in mind. The remaining phases of Keeper's Place are expected to be completed by early 2027. Almost 400 jobs could be created at an immigration detention centre in Oxfordshire, documents show. The Planning Inspectorate has launched a consultation on its plans to expand Campsfield House opposite Oxford Airport, just outside Kidlington. A formal planning application has also been submitted by the Home Office to increase the bed capacity by 240 to take it up to 400. Previously known as Campsfield House, the centre was closed in 2018 following years of controversy during which about 3,600 people passed through the centre, with an average stay of 39 days. In documents published for the consultation, it's estimated that 340 full-time equivalent net additional jobs would be made when it's operational. The jobs would have the potential to provide opportunity to local people who are currently unemployed or with poor labour market contributions, the document says. It adds, "These will be permanent roles across a wide range of functions and levels, including facilities management, security, administration, and specialist support services once the Campsfield IRC is operational. The approach is intended to maximise local employment opportunities and deliver sustained economic benefits. It's also believed there will be a further 250 jobs made during the construction phase. However, it also says there is concern of the potential for further protests in the future outside the detention centre. It adds, a key concern for local residents is for their safety in case of breakouts of the RIC population. The Home Office released a fact sheet on the new Campsfield IRC, stating that the site will be a secure facility with all services available on site, including recreation, faith and medical services. This should reduce the concern by local residents for their safety once the IRC reopens. As well as the 400 beds, it's hoped that Campsfield House will also feature double rooms with a minimum floor area of 10 square metres and healthcare facilities to provide primary healthcare for the residents. The government says it has assumed emergency healthcare will be provided by hospitals in Oxford. Education space will also be provided, along with kitchens and a dining facility to support seating for up to 134 detained migrants, and a mosque and prayer rooms. The government officially reopened Campsfield in December to help tackle the backlog of asylum cases and speed up removals. Detained people will be escorted to Campsfield, either directly from prison, a short-term holding facility after their illegal entry to the UK, or following enforcement actions such as illegal working arrests. They will comprise of foreign national criminals, immigration offenders, illegal small boat arrivals, and failed asylum seekers.
A furious plea has been made to the county's new transport chief over his plan to replace Oxford's controversial congestion charge with an even more draconian traffic filter scheme. Following the planned reopening of the Botley Road at the end of August, city visitors will no longer be able to purchase a £5 a day congestion charge permit, meaning drivers passing automatic number plate recognition cameras during charging times will face a £70 fine. The switch to traffic filters will take place on September the 14th, with a six-month public consultation set to open on the same day. Plans were approved by Oxfordshire County Council in 2022, but have been delayed due to the long-running Botley Road closure, with the congestion charge used as a temporary transition measure. Transport Chief Gareth Epps said he hoped people would move about as freely, if not freer, than they are now, with buses moving rather than being stuck in traffic jams, and people being able to get around walking and cycling. He added, people will enjoy the fact that the city is open for business and every point in the city will be freely accessible without passing through a charge point. Business owners from the Oxford Business Action Group, OBAG, do not agree. Some say the impact will be devastating and has left them depressed and considering closure. Oxfordshire residents will continue to have the same number of permits to enter the zone covered by filters as they currently do for the congestion charge. These should transfer automatically. Mr. Epps called for residents who have not applied for permits to do so online. He said while most people don't use a car to access the city centre, there is a range of permits available free of charge, including for people with regular hospital appointments. Since its introduction, over 205,000 congestion charge fines have been cancelled, including some for deceased drivers, motorists who were in prison, and emergency service vehicles. Thousands of those cancellations occurred due to permit errors. Mr. Epps said, there is an initial grace period where people will just be sent warning letters rather than fines. During the first 6 months of the traffic filter trial, the council will send a warning notice the first time any car goes through a traffic filter without a permit. The cameras will remain at the same locations and operate at the same times as the congestion charge. Those locations have prompted concern about displaced traffic causing issues for residential streets outside the charge zone, including for people attempting to access the city's hospital. The filter trial period is up to 18 months, and Mr. Epps said with the creation of a permanent scheme after this, there are no reasons why the existing charging points should necessarily stay. These things can be moved. Leader of the County Council Green Group, Ian Middleton, said confusion with the congestion charge has pushed him to support the traffic filters, despite being initially concerned. He still has some reservations, describing them as experimental, saying we have to assess it when it's been in place for long enough. Nearly £8,000 of taxpayers' money has been spent removing England flags from lampposts, it has been revealed. Conservative leader Liam Walker has revealed that the Lib Dem-led Oxfordshire County Council spent £79,790 removing flags since last summer. Raise the Colours, a group who as of this month is now banned from putting up flags, has been putting up flags across Oxfordshire in the name of patriotism, it claims. But the County Council argues it is causing some people distress and is intimidating, which meant it had to take action to stop it, hence the legal action earlier this month. Mr. Walker questioned Council leader Tim Bearder how much has been spent on removing flags to date and how much the legal bill was to bring four people from Raise the Colours to court. The figures for the flag removal span between September 2025 and May this year. Mr. Bearder could not give a final figure for court costs because while the injunction has been granted, there is a further court review pending in July. Conservative leader Mr. Walker said, I've consistently warned about the blank cheque the council appears to have written for this work. At a time when residents are reporting potholes that remain unfixed for months, road signs are disappearing behind overgrown trees and hedges, and highways maintenance is under real pressure, this simply doesn't feel like the right priority. Nobody disputes that the law should be upheld, but taxpayers also deserve to know whether nearly £80,000, with further legal costs still to come, represents value for money. Oxfordshire County Council did not say how many flags have been removed with the money spent when asked. In February, it was reported that with the total number of flags removed and the money spent at the time, it worked out at around £41 to remove one flag. The council also declined to reveal the identity of a contractor charging this money to remove the flags. A spokesman said, these costs relate to the safe removal of unauthorised items from highway assets such as streetlights. The council has a legal duty to ensure the highway network remains safe and free from obstructions or attachments that could pose a risk to public safety or damage infrastructure. On the money spent for the legal proceedings, the council said the majority of the work has been undertaken by the council's in-house legal team, with some external council support. Mr. Bearder previously said, the injunction helps protect our residents and our workforce and supports our responsibility to keep the highways safe. This is not and never has been about the flag. We proudly fly the Union flag and St. George's flag at County Hall, and we fully support the right of residents to display their own flags.
Firefighters are warning of the dangers of entering open water during hot weather. A recent training exercise in Burford gave the Burford crew the chance to talk to the public about water safety as temperatures reached 32 degrees centigrade. The crew used the opportunity to remind people of the risks associated with entering rivers or lakes, particularly during periods of high heat. With high temperatures, we took the time to speak with adults, families and young people about the risk of entering bodies of water during high heat, a spokesman at Burford Fire Station said. With an outside temperature of 32 degrees and a river temperature of 18, although inviting, suddenly entering the water can cause cold water shock, and a large intake of breath could cause water to be brought into the lungs. The warning follows multiple fatalities in rivers and open water across Europe over the past month. The crew is urging the public to remain vigilant and to closely supervise children and young people around water. Burford Fire Station is also currently recruiting for a minimum of 8 new on-call firefighters. Oxford has one of the lowest rates of public drinking fountains in the UK, despite rising temperatures and a growing push for accessible hydration. Recent analysis has revealed that Oxford has only one fountain per 9 square kilometres, making it one of the least serviced cities for free water access. In the city, there are fountains in Florence Park, Bury Knoll Park, Cuttislow Park, Rose Hill Recreation Ground, and in Walton Well Road, where there is an 1885 Victorian stone drinking fountain at the junction with Southmoor Road in Jericho. Oxford shares this figure with Cardiff, while London is slightly better with one fountain every 3 square kilometres. The findings come from a study of more than 50 European cities by Insure and Go, which used OpenStreetMap data to compare the availability of public water fountains. The study found that Barcelona leads Europe with 18 fountains per square kilometre.
Drivers have been warned over relay attacks after a £600,000 car theft spree in Oxfordshire and across the country. Those with keyless entry cars have been urged to use signal blocking pouches and steering wheel locks after two men were jailed for stealing 25 high-value vehicles in relay attacks. Orimas Sarkis, 29, and Ignas Kiskis, 37, were jailed at St Albans Crown Court for 49 months and 58 months respectively after admitting stealing cars across Oxfordshire, Hertfordshire, Essex, Cambridgeshire and Northamptonshire between October and December last year, the Crown Prosecution Service said. The court heard the pair use the relay attack method, which allows thieves to access vehicles without a physical key, to steal mostly BMW and Mercedes cars, worth an estimated combined total of more than £600,000. The technique works by one person standing near the car owner's home and using specialist equipment to pick up the signal from the key fob, which is then relayed to another device held by an accomplice next to the car, enabling them to unlock the doors and start the engine, the CPS said. Steve Launchbury, principal engineer for automotive security at Thatcham Research, said that relay attack thefts are a clear example of how vehicle crime has evolved from physical break-ins to digitally enabled methods. He went on, criminals are exploiting the convenience of keyless systems to access vehicles without ever needing the key in their hand. While manufacturers are introducing new technologies to counter these attacks, drivers still have an important role to play. Simple steps like storing keys securely or using a Faraday pouch can make a real difference and ensure the vehicle has been left in a locked condition. Thatcham Research said that car theft in the UK remains significant, saying that a vehicle is stolen every 8 minutes. It added, keyless theft techniques such as relay attack are part of a wider toolkit used by organised criminal groups operating at scale. Modern vehicle crime has shifted away from opportunistic to well-funded, structured operations.
A 90-year-old Oxford pub, which is up for sale, has seen its price reduced by £40,000 to £660,000, with a tenancy in place until 2031. The Corner House in Hollow Way, Headington, was on sale for £700,000, but has now had its price slashed to £660,000. The building was built in the mid-1930s and remains a trading pub in the present day, despite rumours a decade ago it would be turned into a convenience store. In 2015, New River Retail applied to change the use of the pub so it could be turned into a convenience store. However, in that same year, local people successfully nominated it as an asset of community value, and the change of use did not occur. Currently, it is reported that the New River Retail leases the pub to Marston's PLC, which operates more than 1,300 pubs and inns across Great Britain. However, in April, it was put up for sale at £707,500 by Savills UK. Its listing stated, "The property comprises the basement, ground and first floors of a two-storey detached building, together with a single-storey extension, with painted elevations beneath a pitched roof. The property has an approximate site area of 0.124 of an acre. Its business rates value is £15,000 and its let to Marston's PLC does not expire until November 2031, with a passing rent of £43,473 per annum. Businesses and traders have shared optimism and hope for the future with a £250,000 funding boost for a town centre regeneration and Market Square master plan in Bicester. Cherwell District Council has set aside £250,000 for Bicester Town Centre and a new wider economic plan across North Oxfordshire. The funding is designed to grow the local economy, create new opportunities and strengthen support for small businesses and entrepreneurs, while building on recent regeneration in Bure Place, Wesley Square, Crown Walk and Pioneer Square. Emma Gould, who runs Bicester Friday Market and a picture framing store, said trade at the Friday Market remains generally strong. "We are always positive about the town," she said. "Traders on the market do well, and it is one of the best days of trading compared to other markets." Free parking is her top priority, followed by tidying up the town and utilising the empty units to support small independent businesses. She says Sheep Street, the town's main shopping street, has barely changed in more than 30 years, despite pedestrianisation in the 1990s and the £70 million Pioneer Square scheme in 2013. She hopes there can be more community and business involvement, describing last year's now standstill Market Square development engagements as an uphill battle, where there seemed to be a lot of talking but not much action. "As long as we remain positive and continue to invest in our traders and the community, the future should look good," she said. "The wrong type of development and not consulting us or other businesses in the town or oversaturation would impact our future." Barry Fu of the award-winning Mizu Japanese Aisakaya in Sheep Street said, "They have noticed a significant difference in trade compared to previous years." He believes the biggest challenge is the lack of attraction in the town, which is not giving people a reason to visit. However, he says the recent changes and regeneration works have helped create a more attractive environment, which is beneficial for the area as a whole. He said, "I would like to see continued investment in improving and beautifying the town centre, while also attracting a wider range of businesses and attractions. Reducing the number of empty shops and creating more reasons for people to visit regularly should be a key priority," he said. "Procurement will start soon, with baseline analysis, stakeholder engagement, and a delivery framework to shape future investment backed by technical surveys to ensure proposals are practical, deliverable, and good value for money." Leslie McLean, leader of the council, said the approval signifies the council's dedication to putting localism at the heart of what it does.
Oxford University hospitals have seen cuts in their greenhouse gas emissions thanks to a major change across all of its sites. The reduction at Oxford University hospitals shows a shift in how nitrous oxide, a powerful greenhouse gas used in anaesthesia, is delivered. The John Radcliffe Hospital, Churchill Hospital, Nuffield Orthopaedic Centre in Oxford and Horton General Hospital in Banbury previously relied on a manifold system that piped the gas throughout the buildings. The Trust has now switched to using small portable cylinders, saving an estimated 721 tonnes of carbon dioxide equivalent, CO2e, each year. The environmental impact is significant. The carbon savings are equivalent to driving 2 million miles in a typical UK petrol car or circling the Earth 86 times. The new approach is not only greener, but also more efficient.
Secondary schools across Oxfordshire are set to benefit from a share of £255,000 in new funding aimed at helping them become fully mobile phone free. The scheme, announced by Thames Valley Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Barber on Friday, will support schools in the county, as well as in Bucks, Berks and Milton Keynes, to introduce stronger phone-free policies during the school day. The funding, launched at a dedicated event at Aureus School in Didcot, will allow schools to invest in secure storage solutions, such as lockable pouches, lockers or boxes. These systems will ensure pupils cannot access their phones during lessons while still allowing use before and after school. Mr. Barber said many schools currently rely on policies requiring phones to be turned off and kept in bags, something he described as ineffective and difficult to enforce. A recent Thames Valley School survey found 63% of secondary school leaders used this approach. He said, "Smartphones clearly have benefits, but we are increasingly aware of the harms they can cause. Schools and police see the safeguarding issues firsthand, including online conflict, bullying, peer pressure, and exposure to harmful content. These issues can have real-world consequences for young people's safety, well-being, behaviour, and academic attainment." He added that the funding, sourced from money seized from criminals through court orders and the sale of unclaimed stolen goods, would be reinvested into protecting young people. "A fully phone-free approach supports my priority to prevent crime and keep young people safe, while giving pupils a break from online pressures and enabling a more focused learning environment," he said. At the launch event, school leaders shared their experiences of introducing stricter phone policies. Aureus School head teacher Kirsty Rogers described the shift as transformative, leading to improved focus in lessons and better social interaction among pupils. She said, "Creating an environment free from mobile phone distractions allows students to be fully present, both academically and socially." The event also featured input from Yonder, a provider of phone locking pouches, which highlighted the growing momentum behind phone-free schools and the benefits for safeguarding and well-being. The funding will be available for the 2026-27 academic year and is open to secondary, middle and all-through schools. Primary schools, sixth form colleges and private schools are not eligible. Schools applying must demonstrate that their chosen approach prevents access to phones throughout the school day. The deadline for applications is July the 26th.
Oxford University students have been dropping like flies, fainting while taking exams in the extreme heat, sparking frustration at very irresponsible leadership. Temperatures soared last week to highs of 36.9 degrees centigrade, with the June record being broken 3 days in a row, having previously stood for 50 years. A rare red weather warning was issued by the Met Office for Wednesday to Friday last week, with alerts to possible danger to life. Despite the record-breaking heat, exams continued at Oxford, with students voicing their concerns over major problems. First-year historian Lulu Frisson slammed the exam conditions as really dangerous and identified the examination school's building in Merton Street, constructed in 1881, as fundamentally not equipped to ensure student safety in such hot weather. Medicine student Joseph Swirling said all three water fountains ran out of water, and another academic described the waiting room tent as absolutely boiling. Neem Taylor, 18, added, Two girls passed out in front of me, and people have been dropping like flies. Olivia Slaymaker sat 2 3-hour exams in one day on Wednesday of last week, in heat she described as extreme. This resulted in the 19-year-old literally not being able to think on the most crucial day of her university time so far. Another first-year student, who preferred to remain anonymous, added, "I couldn't complete my second exam. I had to walk out halfway through." He spoke of feeling like no support was put in place on the day by the university or faculty, and that first aid-trained personnel on site were not helpful, leaving him to walk home alone. The situation is complicated by uncertainty over what will now happen regarding the incomplete exam, which fellow students are facing across the university. "I've been left very unsure, and I can't really enjoy my summer until I know," he concluded. Speaking on the exam board review system, Ms. Slaymaker added, "They take at least 2 weeks to decide, but it's not clear at all." Oxford University, which closed the old Bodleian Library for 3 days, chose to continue with exams as usual, albeit permitting a relaxed academic dress policy. A spokesperson said that additional measures to support students had been introduced during the Met Office's red weather warning period, adding, "Exam boards will also be made aware of the weather conditions and will take them into account when considering results."
A high-achieving head teacher has been named as the next leader of a prestigious school. Dr. Stephen Burley, currently head of King's High School in Warwick, will take up the role at Headington School, Oxford, in September 2027. He previously served as head of English at Headington from 2013 to 2016. Carol Oster-Warriner, chair of governors, said, "We are delighted to appoint Stephen following a highly competitive recruitment process. He impressed governors, pupils and staff alike with his warmth, authenticity and clarity of vision. His commitment to future-focused education and equipping young people with the confidence, character and adaptability needed to succeed in the future aligns strongly with our vision for Headington School, Oxford."
Global figures from politics, science, the arts and sport have been honoured by the University of Oxford. 9 individuals received honorary degrees during the university's annual Encenia ceremony, which recognises outstanding achievement and contribution across multiple fields. This year's honorands included Jame Jacinda Ardern, the 40th Prime Minister of New Zealand, Professor Darren Asimo-Liu, joint recipient of the 2024 Nobel Prize in Economic Sciences, and former tennis world number one Billie Jean King. Professor Irene Tracy, Vice-Chancellor of the University of Oxford, said, "Encenia provides an opportunity for us to reflect on and celebrate the extraordinary impact individuals have on the world through their dedication and vision." This year, our 9 honorands have each reached the highest levels of achievement in their respective fields, advancing knowledge, shaping society, inspiring audiences, and improving lives. Their contributions exemplify the power of ideas and creativity to make an enduring difference, and we are proud to honour and welcome them into the Oxford family. The Right Honourable Dame Jacinda Ardern led New Zealand from 2017 to 2023, earning global recognition for her empathetic leadership and decisive responses to major national events. Professor Darren Asimo-Liu, Institute Professor at MIT and co-director of the Stone Centre on Inequality and Shaping the Future of Work, has made influential contributions to economics and political science. Among the other recipients was Carlos Acosta, CBE, the internationally acclaimed dancer, choreographer and artistic director. Adjoa Addo, MBE, a British actress and director with a distinguished career across stage, screen and radio, was also honoured. Professor Henry Louis Gates Jr., an Emmy Award-winning filmmaker, literary scholar and director of the Hutchins Centre for African and African-American Research at Harvard University, was also celebrated. Honoured were Professor Kathleen Carrico, Nobel Laureate in Physiology and Medicine, Professor Shuji Nakamura, Nobel Laureate in Physics, Dame Emma Walmsley, former Chief Executive of GSK, and Billie Jean King, founder of the Women's Tennis Association. Tennis legend Billie Jean King reflected on the occasion. She said, "It is an honour and a privilege to receive this degree from Oxford University and to join the other honorands in this historic Insignia celebration. Education at any age is a powerful tool, and we must always keep learning and learning how to learn."
Pupils at an Oxford primary school are celebrating a huge achievement as they break a Guinness World Record in a massive fundraising challenge. A group of seven pupils from Cutteslowe Primary School in Wren Road have broken the world record for the largest display of origami frogs. The Year 5 and Year 6 pupils worked for several days to produce a record-breaking 4,554 paper frogs displayed on the floor of the school hall. Completing the feat in what was their second attempt on Friday, June the 19th, the youngsters had tried to make it into the Guinness Book of World Records last year, before realising the title had specific requirements attached. They beat the previously held world record by more than 1,000 frogs, in the process raising more than £1,100 for their chosen charities, Oxfordshire Homeless Movement and Cancer Research UK. Director of Oxfordshire Homeless Movement, Yvonne Pinner, attended the final frog display and count-up. She said, "Seeing them filling that enormous hall really did make me appreciate all the hard work that has gone into this. And when the total was announced, I could see just how much it meant to the pupils." Oxford has been named Britain's After Dark Capital, beating Manchester, Liverpool and London. A study by Casino Kings assessed entertainment venues, gaming attractions and late-night eateries alongside safety and affordability. Oxford, known for its university and historic appeal, scored 58.07. The city offers 45 bars and pubs, 96 late-night food venues and 6 strip clubs. The city's popularity is rising, with a 2,400% increase in Google searches for nights out in Oxford.
Professional opera, comedy, folk music and family entertainment will take centre stage at an open-air festival. The Sunningwell Festival returns from July the 23rd to 26th at the Quarry Amphitheatre in Sunningwell, offering 4 days of live performance under a giant covered teepee. The festival is organised by Opera Anywhere and aims to raise funds for Seesaw, an Oxfordshire charity supporting bereaved children. Originally founded as Proms on the Pond by Mike and Vanessa Woodward, the event has grown into a broader celebration of music, theatre and community. Mike Woodward, festival founder, said, "When Vanessa and I organised our very first Proms on the Pond 26 years ago, we never imagined it would grow into the festival it has become today. What makes it so special is that people can enjoy performances of the highest quality in one of Oxfordshire's most beautiful outdoor settings, while also helping to support a wonderful local charity. We genuinely believe there's something for everyone this year, whether you're discovering opera for the first time, enjoying live folk music, looking for a great comedy night, or bringing the family along for an afternoon of adventure." Last year's event raised £1,000 for Seesaw, and organisers hope this year's expanded programme will help raise even more for the charity's work in supporting bereaved children and families across Oxfordshire. The 2026 lineup begins on Thursday, July the 23rd, with an evening of comedy and live music from award-winning comedian Amy Webber. On Friday, July the 24th, acclaimed singer-songwriter Reg Muros presents Fire and Dust, a Woody Guthrie story, joined by the Strike Duo and special guest Phil Beer. Saturday, July the 25th, features a performance of Mozart's magical masterpiece, The Magic Flute, by Opera Anywhere. Sunday, July the 26th, offers an afternoon of family fun for younger audiences with Pirates Hidden Treasures, an interactive adventure from Enchanted Performance Theatre Company. The festival concludes that evening with Opera Anywhere's production of Gilbert and Sullivan's much-loved comic opera, The Pirates of Penzance. Tickets and further information are available at www.operaanywhere.com and www.sunningwell.com.
A major new season of international concerts has been announced by the Oxford Philharmonic Orchestra. The 2026-27 programme will see the orchestra perform more than 25 concerts in Oxford, as well as shows in London, New York, Rome, Berlin, Athens and Istanbul. Marios Papadopoulos, music director of the Oxford Philharmonic Orchestra, said, "This new season is our biggest and most ambitious yet. As the orchestra continues to expand nationally and internationally and grows in stature, reputation and vision, we are also expanding our musical reach to incorporate more varied styles of music to support the next generation and to champion Oxford on the world stage. We are delighted to welcome you to hear world-class music making and some of the world's most renowned artists that only visit Oxford to perform with the Oxford Philharmonic. Concert programmes will span four centuries of classical music. In September, the Oxford International Opera will stage a new production of Puccini's Tosca at the New Theatre, featuring Sir Bryn Terfel, Carmen Giannattasio and Samir Purgu. The season also launches the Oxford Beethoven Festival 2027, marking 200 years since the composer's death, with performances by artists including Maxim Vengerov and Martha Argerich. The OPO Academy programme will return, offering young people a range of music experiences. An historic independent cinema is celebrating 30 years under its current name. The Ultimate Picture Palace, UPP, in Oxford, one of the UK's oldest independent cinemas, is planning a bumper summer season to celebrate its 30th birthday. Originally opened as the East Oxford Picture Palace in 1911, it was renamed the UPP in 1996 and became community-owned in 2022. Michaela Tuckwell, cinema director, said, "We work hard to offer the most diverse range of films in the city. We've always welcomed a wide variety of art forms and events into our space, including gigs, comedy, theatre, exhibitions, and talks on local history, and we're really keen to do more of that." To mark the anniversary, the UPP has launched the My UPP competition, inviting the public to suggest creative uses for the venue, anything except screening films. Winners will have a chance to use the cinema for their proposed event.
A discovery trail will come to life in a shopping centre this summer. Westgate Oxford will host the Natural History Museum London's ABC Trail in a new event running from July the 20th to September the 6th. The free experience will feature 26 interactive installations inspired by the wonders of the natural world, including dinosaurs, deep-sea creatures and ancient fossils. Claire Martin, Centre Director at Westgate Oxford, said, "The Natural History Museum is the UK's most visited attraction, so we're delighted to bring the sense of wonder and discovery that it inspires right here to Oxford. We can't wait to host this amazing celebration of everything that makes up our natural world, the perfect free family activity this summer. The trail features illustrated displays and replica models, each paired with interactive challenges and fun facts. Children can take part in hands-on activities such as designing symmetrical butterfly wings, weaving through a spiderweb maze, comparing their feet to an elephant's, hopping like a kangaroo, and listening to volcanic eruptions. Visitors who complete all 26 stops can return to the Guest Experience Pod to collect a sticker. The trail aims to encourage learning and curiosity for all ages.
Blenheim Palace has launched a range of new family-friendly activities. The stately home will bring a collection of farm animals to the orchard beyond the walled garden from July the 21st to September the 1st. The animals include Berkshire pigs, buff Orpington chickens, Cotswold sheep and English goats, all of which are on the Rare Breed Survival Trust's red list. This means they are considered at risk and are being monitored for conservation. The stables and West Courtyard will host horse displays and demonstrations each weekend from July the 25th to August the 21st. The programme will include a First World War cavalry display, exploring the role of the cavalryman and his horse. A popular community space in Oxford has closed suddenly following the departure of its owner, but it is hoped the venue will reopen this summer under new management. Common Ground Cafe in Little Clarendon Street combines a cafe, a comedy club, a second-hand bookshop, a record shop, and other activities. In recent years, it has become an important part of the city's social fabric and supported the local arts community by holding regular events such as exhibitions, writing circles, comedy clubs, poetry nights, and live music events. The venue is popular with students and local residents who are hoping it will soon return, even though its long-term future is under threat, as Oxford University wants to redevelop the block where it is based. Owner Eddie Whittingham has issued a statement saying he has now left, and a notice has been posted at the entrance saying, "We are temporarily closed, hoping to be back in July, fingers crossed. We will miss you all in the meantime." Mr. Whittingham told Common Ground customers, "It's the end of an era. After 4.5 years, it's time for me to move on. As of June the 9th, Common Ground has temporarily closed its doors. However, I'm delighted to share that Common Ground will open its doors to the community once again in the summer under new ownership. Alex, our ops manager, and Chris, Flow Records, are teaming up to keep the community spirit alive and bring a new exciting future for Common Ground. We had planned to make this transition as smooth as possible and not close at all, but life has thrown a few curved balls and we'll need some time to figure out exactly what comes next." Mr. Whittingham added that the Common Ground is an unbelievably special place, a space which lets people connect. "In a city that feels increasingly fractured, it's living proof of the power and strength in community and togetherness," he added. He thanked staff, customers, event organisers, promoters and artists for their support. Alex Farrow, who runs the comedy club at the venue, has been asked for further comment. "Comedy nights organised by Mr. Farrow are backed by a bar at Common Ground and regularly attract well-known names on the comedy circuits. The events sometimes sell out. It is understood that some comedy nights, under the Jericho Comedy brand, have been taking place at the Wigan Pen Pub in George Street, following the closure of Common Ground." A new BMX pump track in Harwell saw more than 100 youngsters take to their bikes to ride the course as it opened for the first time. Harwell Pump Track opened in Harwell Recreation Ground on Sunday, June the 21st, when the community gathered for an official ribbon cutting of the popular new facility by some keen young riders, where Parish Council Chair Vaughan Humphreys gave a speech. Construction for the off-road cycling track began in March, and despite facing some setbacks, such as when motorcyclists broke into the unfinished track and caused damage, has now been successfully completed. A spokesperson for Harwell Parish Council said, "This is a remarkable achievement and a genuine community effort. It was initiated by the Parish Council, but it came together through the dedication of our officers, particularly our deputy clerk, volunteers and individual families. Companies who gave their time and expertise generously and are remarkable partners at OX Trials. The whole community can be proud of what has been built here."
Despite only retiring in April, Aaron Ramsay's journey to becoming Oxford United head coach did not happen overnight. "I've been planning this for the last few years," Ramsay told the media upon his arrival in OX4, "and his path has been carefully paved." The Welshman spent 11 years at Premier League giants Arsenal, a decade of which were under iconic manager Arsene Wenger. Immediately under Wenger's wing, the young midfielder was patiently developed into one of Europe's best midfielders after arriving at Emirates Stadium in 2008 as a teenager. Ramsay bagged FA Cup final winning goals in both 2014 and 2015 before winning a third in 2017, and his eventual departure for Italian giants Juventus in 2019 was dubbed a big loss by his former tutor. A spell at Nice in France preceded a return to boyhood club Cardiff City, by which time Ramsay's plan for a future in management was sprung. The 35-year-old secured his UEFA A licence in 2024 whilst playing in the Welsh capital, and also obtained the UEFA Elite Youth A licence, which focuses on high-level, long-term youth development coaching. He spent time analysing games on the sidelines, including at youth level, coaching the Bluebirds under-18s on occasion. An early chance to demonstrate his tactical acumen came for the former Gunner in the 2024-25 campaign whilst in the Welsh capital, when manager Omar Reza was relieved of his duties with three championship fixtures remaining. Ramsay took the wheel, but could only manage two draws and a defeat with the depleted Cardiff side. His first ever match as head coach came against his now club Oxford, managing a 1-1 draw at home to Gary Rowett's Ewes, but the Bluebirds were condemned to League One in Ramsay's second and penultimate game. Since he returned to Cardiff, Ramsay has spent time with the Wales international setup, garnering huge praise from head coach Craig Bellamy and a final playing spell in Mexico with UNAM. "I believe he's going to be that talented, and I believe he's going to be a big asset to whoever he's with. I'd like to see that with Wales one day," Bellamy admitted in 2024. Despite being careful not to name-drop anyone specific upon joining United, Ramsay has previously cited Arsenal manager and ex-teammate Mikel Arteta as inspiration. "It's inspiring because Mikel was in Wales studying around 10 years ago in the same position starting his journey," the Yellows boss said previously. "That's inspiring for us to see him 10 years later lifting the Premier League and in the Champions League final." All these experiences have led Ramsay to Oxford United. Despite limited managerial experience, the new man in charge will be confident he can bring success to the Ewes.
Oxford United said the club is delighted as a Hearts defender joins the squad in its first summer signing. Experienced defender Frankie Kent joins Oxford United with 13 years of league football behind him and more than 400 appearances across Colchester United, Peterborough United, and recently in Scotland with Heart of Midlothian. The 30-year-old is a commanding and physical centre-back who proved himself as a League One pedigree when he won promotion with Peterborough in 2021. Meanwhile, last season, Kent helped Hart secure a second-place finish in the Scottish Premiership. Speaking about joining United, he said, "This is a very exciting move for me to be joining a club with a clear ambition for success. I've had very positive conversations with people at the club, and I am confident that I can use my experience to drive standards, not just on the pitch, but off it as well. I understand the demands of this league, and I return to England a much better player and leader following three fantastic years in Scotland. I've come here to help push this club forward, and I'll do everything I can every day to help us improve and achieve our ambitions." Newly appointed head coach Aaron Ramsay said he's delighted with the first signing under his leadership. Mr. Ramsay said, I had very positive conversations with the club before arriving about the business we wanted to complete this summer, and I'm delighted we've moved quickly to bring in a player of Frankie's quality and character. As a player, Frankie is a dominant, aggressive defender who is comfortable in possession, and his profile fits exactly how we want this team to play. As importantly, Frankie embodies the values we want to hold throughout the football club. He's someone who will raise the standards and push to help create the elite environment we strive for. As a first signing, it's a real statement for us. We're bringing in someone who can make an immediate impact, both on the pitch and within the group. Head of Football Operations Ed Waldron last week said himself, "The new head coach and the club are aligned on what we think the squad needs," saying they're ready to get deals done. Following the signing announcement, Mr. Waldron added, "Frankie is a player we've admired for a long time, dating back to his time at Colchester, when he regularly came up against Oxford United. Scotland is a market we monitor closely, and throughout his time at Hearts, Frankie has consistently been one of the league's standout defenders. Our recruitment process combines detailed data analysis with extensive live scouting, and Frankie stood out in every aspect. Equally importantly, our background work highlighted the qualities he brings away from the pitch. He's a strong personality, a natural leader, and exactly the type of character we want in the building. So we're delighted to welcome him to Oxford United."
A magician duo from Oxfordshire appeared on America's Got Talent and wowed judges with their daring grand illusion performed up close to Simon Cowell himself. Magic pair Young and Strange, made up of Richard Young of Blackbird Lees and Sam Strange of Ensham, took their act to the Big Talent stage in Pasadena, California, for their appearance on the show. Last week, the illusion which wowed judges Mel B, Simon Cowell, Sofia Vergara and Howie Mandel was broadcast to more than 10 million viewers across the United States on NBC. Richard Young, one half of the act, said, "It was such a thrill to be part of the show. AGT is the biggest entertainment TV show in the world, with the most amazing team working behind the scenes, who helped showcase our magic in the best possible way. A daring act performed up close on the judge's desk got rave reviews from three of the panel, with Mel B even saying she contemplated pressing the golden buzzer. The grand illusion involved placing a cardboard box on top of Simon's red buzzer. He probably would have pressed it anyway," they quipped, which Mr. Young then got into. Unbelievably, Mr. Strange then repeatedly skewered the box with wooden stakes before Young emerged unharmed, holding champagne and wearing a Spice Girls t-shirt. Sofia Vergara said, "I loved it. You guys are so funny. That was magic for sure. For me, it was the perfect audition." But Simon, as his reputation suggests, was less easy to please, saying to his fellow judges, "I'm not jumping out of my chair like you are." Even so, Young and Strange got three yeses and are through to the next round. With Strange admitting to host Terry Crews afterwards, Simon was always going to be the hardest nut to crack. The pair have been performing together for 15 years on stages around the world, including a run in London's West End in 2021, and in North America as part of a large production show called Champions of Magic in Broadway House theatres and arenas since 2017. Speaking to the judges on America's Got Talent, they admitted that their dream is to have a Vegas show. Judge Howie Mandel gave an encouraging review as he said, "Can I imagine paying a huge amount to watch you on the Las Vegas Strip?" "Absolutely, yes." Sam Strange said, "We're now anxiously waiting to see if we've made it to the live finals in September. We have something really exciting planned if we do that we believe has never been done in magic before."
Former Bake Off judge Dame Mary Berry's daughter wants to move closer to her mum in Oxfordshire amid a heartbreaking marriage breakdown. The 91-year-old has lived in Henley, in the south of Oxfordshire, with her husband Paul Hunnings since 2019, having previously lived in London. Recently, her daughter, Bells Berry, opened up about her heartbreaking marriage split from her husband Dan, of 24 years, in an interview with Hello magazine. Bells, the founder of the Great Taste Company, said the end of the relationship had been devastating, but that her mother had been a constant source of support. The couple had built a new life in Oxfordshire at Blenheim Farm, a striking single-storey contemporary home near Iwelme, close to Wallingford. Yet, following the split, the picturesque country house is now on the market, signalling a fresh start for Bells. The 54-year-old has now commented on this and said, "It's time to let it go and pass it on. I would like to be near Mum and Dad in Henley-on-Thames." She also told Hello that although the end of her marriage had been painful, she now felt stronger and more determined to move forward with her career and family life. "When you get married, do you think you'll be together forever?" said Miss Berry, who has three children with Dan, Louis 21, Hobie 18 and Atalanta 15.
Seven puppies left under a bush when they were just a month old have now been found new homes thanks to the national pet charity Blue Cross. The Shih Tzu puppies named Bernie, Tilly, Hetty, Betsy, Harold, Sandy and Norman by staff at the charity's rehoming centre in Chiltern Road, Burford, were transferred into Blue Cross care after being found by a member of the public and taken to Oxfordshire Animal Sanctuary. When the puppies arrived, they were still needing their mother's milk and required bottle feeding from the charity's dedicated team. The puppies were found abandoned under a bush in Abingdon in March. Anushka Ashmead Bartlett, admissions coordinator at Blue Cross Burford, said, "It's a good thing they were discovered when they were and brought into safety, as they are unlikely to have survived on their own. We don't know the circumstances behind the puppies being left, but they may have been from a litter which could not be sold by a breeder. They needed treatment for eye conditions and nasal discharge, and there were concerns some of the pups may have pneumonia, as there were signs of aspiration and some of the pups were lethargic. Flat-faced breeds like these are predisposed to certain health conditions, including eye disorders and infections. Following successful treatment, the pups, now aged 6 weeks, have all been found new homes."
And that was the last of our articles for this week's edition of Ox Talk. If you have any comments or feedback, we now have a new landline number you can call. The number is 01865 377 635. That's 01865 377 635. Please leave a message for Michelle, OxTalk's listener coordinator, remembering to leave your name and a contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from the previous 4 weeks are available on our website. Visit www.oxtalk.org.uk to listen directly or download the audio files. The current edition is also available on Alexa using the Talking Newspapers skill. Instructions on how to do this will be coming up shortly. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week for more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.
Notice to listeners of OxTalk who may wish to use an Alexa smart speaker to access our service. To listen to OxTalk on an Alexa device, you can use the Talking Newspaper skill. You will need to first enable the skill. To do this, simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have any problems listening to Oxtalk using an Alexa device, it could be due to the way that your device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set it up in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Oxtalk and we will try to help.